the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, where we discuss all things crypto related. Your host, Kieran Ryan.
While USD pegged stablecoins are all over the news, a quieter trend is emerging across Africa, which is the development of stablecoins tied to local currencies. These stablecoins promise expanded financial access, reduced dollar dependency, and they enable more efficient domestic and cross-border payments. But their growth also raises critical questions around liquidity, trust, regulation, and long-term viability. We've seen a batch of ZAR stablecoins launched in the last months, amongst them ZARU, which is backed by Luno and Sanlam, ZARP, backed by Old Mutual, ZAR Supercoin, issued by gaming company Supergroup, and XR. So is there room for all of these? Why do we have so many? And will they become important enough to care about? Well, joining us to discuss this is Hannes Wessels, General Manager for Binance South Africa. Hi, Hannes. Thanks very much again for your time. What are we to make of the launch of all of these local stable coins? Most people probably don't know they exist. So perhaps explain whether these will become a feature within the economy in the years to come. And should we care about them?
Hi, Kieran. Yeah, I think a couple of questions there. And I think the answer is yes to all of them. If I look at where we stand right now, I think, you know, the South African Payments Association and clearing agencies have done a great job in terms of what we're doing with the likes of PayShap at the moment. That's so effective that it's still very early days if we look at the stable coins themselves. Yes, there's definitely a room for these, but we need to look slightly forward in terms of where I think the economy is going. I look at, you mentioned, I think there's about five on the block at the moment. The oldest one is obviously XR from Altcoin Trader. We are looking at all of them from a Binance perspective, but there's a couple of things I think you need to consider. You mentioned trust, you mentioned collateralization. All of these are very well collateralized. I don't have any issues with them in that front, but that's something we'll always need to manage. And from a regulatory perspective, that's something that needs to be transparent and immediately accessible for a regulator, I think, to fully trust these. As I said, they're all collateralized. I think we just need to work in time to get that instant collateral checks available. So let's say you've got a Rand stablecoin with Standard Bank, in the case of XR, Richard and his team. You know, you can almost have a live link into the balance of that collateral account with Standard Bank, as an example. I know the guys at Luna is doing the same with Sanlam Capital Markets, obviously a very reputed firm and a very good partner, I think, they chose in that regard. So that's just to set the scene. I think then looking forward, I mentioned PayShap and why will these things be PayShap? Is there really a market for it? And I think for me, the differentiator here, and this is, I think, something that's very early, but we really need to keep an eye on this, is agentic AI. I think at the moment, you know, we're 45 days since the launch of OpenClaw. A lot of the AI platforms are still getting there with AI agents. But if you stay close to people who develop this very actively, there's definitely something there. And I think in time, if you imagine, there's a couple of folks now, if you look at YouTube, there's a couple of folks now who have their own AI businesses with five of these agents. One is their CFO, one is their COO, one is their head of sales, etc. It's very difficult for these AI agents to transact with traditional bank accounts. But the blockchain, and I think specifically the stable coins, are ideally suited, you know, for these things to start transacting with each other. We've got a long way to go in terms of OPSEC, you know, making sure that all the security items are addressed, but that will smooth itself out. And if you then, let's say you as Killen have an AI agent that does your online shopping for you, you've got a set grocery list that you stuff you buy every week. This thing just repeats that until you tell it not to. If you give that access to a stablecoin that can be reliably converted into rands, paying a merchant, your agent can start transacting within the limits you set. And that's very difficult to do from a banking perspective. So yes, there's absolutely space for this. But I think we'd not only need to keep our eyes on the banking market, the crypto market, we need to keep our eyes on AI as well, and specifically agentic AI. I think that's going to be the thing that really unlocks it.
Interesting about the AI and agentic AI. Let's talk about some of the other use cases. There are, of course, some big technical advantages to stablecoins. Mm. We know you can transact stable coins outside of banking hours. That's one thing. Cross-border payment is pretty instant. So if somebody, you've got a family member in Zambia, you want to send something, they've got it within a minute. But then the problem is they got a ZAR stablecoin. So what do they do with that? And is that then, can that be converted into local currency or into US dollar stablecoin? So those kind of technical issues come up. Maybe
yes.
Talk about that.
So let's start there. And I think it's something a lot of us are passionate about. You know, again, we always say Africa's not a country. It's basically a number of states with different currencies. Unlike the US, which is a number of states with the same currency, here we've got different currencies. So ultimately, what happens is you find a common denominator. And that common denominator we've clearly seen is dollar stable coins, either Tether or Circle. In Africa, we see mostly Tether. If you have that Rand stablecoin, you can almost, via DeFi or centralized exchange, whichever your method is, you can easily convert that into a stablecoin. And it doesn't need to be sent. It's almost immediately available to the other party. So if a migrant worker in South Africa wants to use the rands they've earned and able to convert that into rand stablecoin quickly or earn it in rand stablecoin, it's very easy to convert that quickly. So it's not a case of you need to phone a family member saying, listen, I need money. Can you activate that process where you get it to me in a week? You know, this is like snail mail. None of us want to use that stuff. This is almost instantaneous. And the competition, which you mentioned, is good because that drives the cost down. So not only do we have the agentic AI side, I think we've got this this cross-border migration or cross-border remittance element to it as well, which will be very, very quick.
I think one of the technical problems that all of the exchanges are going to run into, or any user that wants to send stable coins across border, you've got to have a wallet. So you've got to somehow set up the recipient on the other side. If it is in Zambia, they've got to have a wallet which is able to receive ZAR stable coins. So it does remind me a little bit of the early days in South Africa when the banks were introducing ATMs and they thought this was going to be the thing that would keep people out of the branches. They wouldn't have to open up so many branches. And it was a slog. It was very difficult to get to and trusting the ATM technology, but it did happen, but it took time. Do you see the same thing going on here?
Yes, it takes time, but if you just need to go stand at any ATM, or not right there, but just observe it from a distance at month end to South Africa, and you know that prophecy is fully coming to being. Here we need to look at, yes, it will happen, but the adoption of technology. Now, again, you look at the adoption of stable coins vis-a-vis crypto generally, I think that adoption curve has been much faster. I've said this a number of times. I apologize if I repeat myself, but the real adoption of this is driven not at retail level, because it's relatively easy for a retail individual like you and me to get onto a Binance and open both your Binance account, but also your Binance wallet. And I think both of those are important because one is centralized, you get the liquidity pool, the other one is for custody purposes. And from an agentic perspective, just to briefly go back to that, that's also where that happens, is at wallet level. Now, you take that forward, you look how quickly stable coins has found a function in Africa, I think faster than any of the other cryptocurrencies at scale. But then the adoption lies at merchant level. And this is the bit where I apologize if I repeat myself, but we got to drive that. But you got to have a place to spend this. Otherwise, if you just have a stable coin, but you now still need to go turn it into a kwacha or something in order to spend it at a local retailer, that's where it fails. And that's where a lot of our efforts are, to get retailers, wholesalers, you got to look across that supply chain to get people onto that. If you can solve that bit, that solves it for the retail customer. And more importantly, and I say this again, it solves a lot of issues for the supply chain and specifically the retailer, because if you think about your working capital velocity, that accelerates immediately because you can immediately change this into whatever you need. And that's the bit that we say to people, there is a real benefit. We're not saying move lock, stock, and barrel to stablecoins, but allocate a bit of your working capital cycle, your accounts, everything to that. Give it a spin, because over time, and I know this is a bold prediction, but I still think it will happen. Over time, everything will become tokenized or substantially tokenized. And the earlier you are on this, you can get a competitive advantage for your business.
So the real trick is going to be to convert merchants and at the same time retailers to start getting familiar with this technology, adopting it, getting used to wallets and how you onboard on-ramp and off-ramp. Now, that really was my next question, is how these ZAR stable coins are going to gain popularity. You've got to give people a good reason to want them. There's issues around capital controls. So when you're sending money across border, you know, are you now interacting with the South African Reserve Bank? And that's just touching the surface. There are all sorts of issues that come up with it. Maybe discuss that side of it.
The exchange control specifically is obviously something we A, very conscious of, and B, very respectful of. But again, and I said this in a meeting with the SARB as well 2 weeks ago, that element of transparency is much better in crypto than it is in the traditional system. In the traditional system, you do rely on import-export undertakings. You've got to have that financial intermediary. If we can get this right, and I think all the folks that you mentioned got this right, where it is on a blockchain, and that blockchain is transparent, as long as the FICA and other regulatory controls identifying the individuals behind the wallet is in place, you can see who does what. You can see where the people are within their regulatory limits, within your 1 million, your 10 million, or I don't think it's anything beyond that. But as a private individual, where you're acting inside that, the transparency actually facilitates that. It doesn't hinder it. So for me, this is something I think regulators should jump on very quickly, because it's going to make their lives easier. So that's the first bit, is the regulatory bit. Then I think just the general ease of use. We always look at the friction points. It's no use you say to someone, hey, here's an alternative, go use it. Why? You got to look at the friction points of traditional currency. One such friction point, and I think PayShap partly solves it, but only partly, is that T+1 settlement, where if I pay you, you with Absa, I'm with FNB, there's still T+1 until you elect otherwise. Stablecoins doesn't have that. And I think it's only the SMEs in South Africa, you know, the plumbers, the electricians, that I see enable PayShap, because they know they get paid immediately. There's no do work today, get money maybe tomorrow. So it's in their favor. I'm asking everyone to look more broadly in terms of this, where you can also then enable the Rand stablecoins to get this done. And you also know you've got your money and it's not reversible. That's the key bit. It's not reversible. Once it's paid, it's paid. So you've done the work as an SME, a plumber or an electrician. You get paid. Someone can't make a claim back against you. And that's some of the hindrances and drawbacks of the existing technology.
All right. And just finally, what does this all mean for the central banks? I guess for fintechs as well, and the broader economy, this is going to be a very, very exciting challenge, because we are now in the era of instant payments, as you just said, like the PayShap. You don't have to wait 5 days for the bank to clear your payment, You can get it straight away. So what is the future look for central banks and all the participants in this ecosphere?
I think the ones who do it right will let others do a private coin, like a stable coin. All the ones you mentioned are private stable coins. They're not CBDCs. I think there's been too much kickback against CBDCs. You need to see South Africa for what it is. We're a liberal democracy. People don't want this overbearing centralized approach for the CBDC. And again, with a lot of respect, we've seen this fail in Nigeria, where a CBDC was attempted. It didn't work. People go towards the lowest friction option that they trust the most. And this is simply, the blockchain tells you the truth. People go to where they find those two things, trust and efficiency, and stablecoins provide that. So rather than fight the system, I would enable the system, I would monitor the system, I would regulate the system, but I wouldn't try to dominate it. I think those days of a central government currency coming from a central bank, I think we're moving towards an age of decentralization as we move towards an age of instant payments. And I think that's the way to go. Let the private guys run it, but monitor and regulate it.
All right. And I mean, the technology is kind of ahead of the regulation here. So, you know, people can, if you're a bad actor, let's put it that way, you can bypass through the regulations. The technology allows you to do that. So this is always going to be a bit of a rabbit and a hare situation here, where the regulators trying to stay on top of the technological advances. You see, this is a problem.
The regulators can't lead this. I mean, that in itself is as the contradiction to your statement doesn't work, because you need to let the innovators innovate, but you need regulators who are fast followers. They need to stay in close contact with us. We tell them, guys, this is what we see. This is how it's developing, and they need to follow quickly. The slower it's almost like a feedback loop. The slower that feedback loop in terms of the regulator following the innovator is, the more of this type of fraud you're going to get. The faster you iterate in this regard, the better it works. So if there are any flaws, any frauds in it, et cetera, you can plug those holes quickly. We are getting remarkably well at doing that at taxation level. I think we need to get better or equally good plugging these type of holes at payment level. Then I think you've covered both ends of the spectrum.
Hannes Wessels, General Manager for Binance South Africa. Thank you very much for that, Hannes, and look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you, Kieran. Always a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, hosted by Kieran Ryan. To listen to our other podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.